This is Ken Paulson with Americana Music News. We've got a great show for you today, including a conversation with Ashley Cleveland, who's about to release a brand new album. She's a three-time Grammy Award winner, and she's got a lot to say about her career and a fairly dramatic life, I will tell you. There's a film coming. There's already been a tremendous memoir. And, of course, she's got this great body of recorded music. We'll hear all about that in a couple of minutes. But first, the news. We are so pleased that John Prine is about to put out his first album of all new material on April 13th. It's been about 13 years since the last one. And it is called The Tree of Forgiveness. There's a track on the web of Summer's End. You should check that out. It's a very sweet song and written with Pat McLaughlin. We're also pleased to see that Steve Earle is going to tour this year. On March 16th, it begins the 30th anniversary of Copperhead Road, and that should be outstanding. And for those of you Americana artists who listen to the podcast, just a reminder that Americana Fest, which is coming up this fall in Nashville, is now looking for artists who would like to play showcases at Americana Fest. It's really an extraordinary event, all kinds of talent, and obviously if you're a new and emerging artist, it's a big break if you can do that. So their website will give you guidance on how to apply, but you really don't want to miss this. Our guest today is Ashley Cleveland, three-time Grammy Award winner in the rock gospel field, and she's got a brand new album called One More Song. Welcome, Ashley.
Thank you.
I look forward to every one of your albums. You are a bit hard to describe because you are rock, you are blues, you are gospel, and I think all of that collectively can fit under an umbrella of Americana music as well.
Well, that's the hope, but honestly, I think one of the big problems, it's a funny thing. It's one of the big problems of my career. It's also one of the big freedoms of my career, is that I kind of go everywhere and belong nowhere.
You haven't put out a straight rock and roll album out for quite a long time.
No.
But that's where you began.
Yes. I was signed. I moved to Nashville in 1984 and for a number of years sang people's song demos and then sang background on records. And then in 1990, I was signed to Atlantic Records out of New York. I did not have to go to New York, but I was signed in New York to a rock deal.
Yeah, and I think I probably first heard you sing Gimme Shelter somewhere in Nashville the first time I ever saw you perform.
Were you at that?
Apparently.
Performance? That is so. Years ago, there was this moment in time where everybody and their brother were doing tribute records. And so there was a country music tribute to the Rolling Stones. And then they decided to do a television special to accompany it. And my husband, Kenny, and I, and another one of our band members, just oddly enough, we were all hired to be in the backup band. None of us were being featured. But then at the last minute, one of the artists dropped out. So the director and I had worked together on something else, and he said, "You want to sing a song?" And I said, "Well, do I have to sing the song that the artist who dropped out was going to do?" Because I think it was Brown Sugar. And I thought, I don't think I can pull that one off. But he said, "No, we're kind of in a bind. You can pick whatever you want." So I said, "Well, I've always liked Gimme Shelter." So I think we called, got the license. I mean, in a matter of minutes, got a copy of the song, rehearsed it once, and then in one performance, they let me use the video portion as a video, and I had a recording. So it was one of those things that you always dream of in the entertainment industry, like that moment where everything goes well.
I mention it in part because I had not heard your work before. Was relatively new to Nashville. And you just floored me. And I went and bought, I now own everything you've ever recorded.
Thank you.
I hope you saw a spike the week after that special. The numbers had to come in that your albums were on fire. Anyway, so that makes your journey even more interesting in that you began as a rock singer. And over time, your life was reflected in your music. Mm. And increasingly, you've written songs that are, you know, just as bluesy, just as powerful, but very much a reflection of your life.
Yes.
And that's what this new album is about. It's almost an extension of Little Black Sheep, your memoir, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I wrote Little Black Sheep a few years ago, and, you know, that was such an incredible experience for me to just sort of reflect on my life and to see what I, you know, what I carried from it, what I... You know, looking back, you don't really know what is going to matter to you as you get older, and the album is very much looking back and seeing what matters to me. And so there are themes always of faith, but also I'm a long time recovered alcoholic and drug addict, and very involved in a couple of different 12-step programs, and have been for a long time. So that, you know, that's a big theme to me. And I don't really set out to write about it, but it's such a centerpiece to my life. It's there. And just the things that pop up are always curious to me, and then whatever's happening in the culture.
So one of the, I would hesitate to sum up your life, you've done that beautifully in your memoir, but basically you had some very, very dark days, and you found redemption through faith. Mm-hmm. And I just admire the courage of that book, because you do not paint yourself in flattering light.
No. I don't see any point in telling, if you're going to tell something, I don't see any point in not telling the truth, you know.
I've always wondered how your kids reacted to the book.
Well, they were all kind of different about it. My biggest concern was my oldest child, who also struggles with addiction, and I was really, and she, you know, absolutely got the brunt of my own illness. She took it on the chin. She just did. And I was very concerned that, you know, whatever I revealed about myself, I certainly didn't set out to hurt anybody, and especially her, but I worried that she would be hurt by it. But the interesting thing was after she read it, she called me in tears and said, "Mom, it made me feel so much better about myself."
Wow.
Because I, you know, I didn't know that you had gone so low. And so you never know. And then my other two kids, I think they never knew me, you know, as a drinker, really. They never knew. They kind of, it was almost like, oh my God, who is this person?
Must be a work of fiction.
Well, yeah, and I think my husband even had some discovery moments. So, you know, I mean, you don't, I don't spend a lot of time back in those, right. And I don't, you know, I unlike a lot of recovering people, drunk logs are not fun for me. I don't, you know, it's just kind of an exercise in humiliation. But I did want to, I think the point of the book was to say, you know, if there's breath, there's hope, and people can come back from a lot.
Well, in that regard, the new album, one more song, is kind of a soundtrack to that. And there's one striking song called Way Out of No Way. Can you talk a bit about that?
Well, I'm sure it, you know, Way Out of No Way relates to my own recovery experience, but even, you know, even before that, and maybe in a deeper way, I mean, I am this kid in Knoxville, Tennessee, which, you know, Knoxville's I think, the third largest city in Tennessee, but that does not make it large. And it's much more cosmopolitan now, but back then it felt very much like a town. And, you know, I'm watching Ed Sullivan. In the early 60s, thinking, I would see musicians and I would hear rock and roll, and something in my soul just came to life. And I thought, I have no idea how a person does that. Back then, music was so mysterious. There weren't that many artists. There wasn't technology. I mean, people like me, anyway, that had even no engineering savvy, we didn't know how records got made or how that even happened. So I think, you know, in a way, it's almost like a Field of Dreams song to me.
Yeah. Let's listen to that now, shall we?
Great.
A child of the South sat watching TV. She heard her future in a rock and roll band, in a language she could understand. She heard a way. She heard a way. She heard.
Oh,
That's very powerful. Is there a point at which you say, I don't want to write about myself anymore?
I hope so.
It feels like a burden. It could be a burden for an artist.
Well, yeah, but I always have so admired people like James Taylor had this song that I always thought was so beautiful called Mill Worker. And James Taylor didn't work in a mill. I mean, he's a doctor's son. But he was able to sort of imagine that. Right. And I'm such a reader. I admire so many people that move into fiction. But, for me, I'm sort of more mining for some level of truth. And so I write what I know, and I do know my own story. But as a songwriter, there's the personal, but there's I really do try to write in a way where the personal has an opportunity to intersect into the universal. Like, for instance, I'm a huge reader of poetry. And so I let and I try to read a poem by somebody every day, just because I really think the poets are the ones that really, give us news from the abyss. And some of it's not good, but some of it's so beautiful and hopeful. And they elevate language and all of that. So there was a poem by W.H. Auden called As I Went Out One Evening. And in it, he talks about, at the end of one of the stanzas, he says, you shall love your crooked neighbor with your crooked heart. And I thought, okay, that resonates deeply with me in this climate, in this polarized nation where we despise people we don't even know simply for what we perceive they think or they believe. And they despise us. And so how do I, as a broken person, love other broken people? And so my hope is that that's a universal theme and not just me.
Well, that's very powerful. I have to tell you, one of my favorite songs on the album is Lily Grown Wild. And maybe I'm relating to it as a parent. I assume I am.
Yes.
But could you talk a bit about that song?
Yeah. Well, obviously, it's Lily is my third and youngest child. She left home, and she is she has her own thing in many, many distinctive ways.
Now, she left home as part of the growing process.
Right.
She didn't just get mad and
no,
leave,
she
leave
did
the
not
house.
Get mad and leave. She launched,
yeah,
as that, they
there
say.
You go, there you go.
But you know, that whole thing, and and that's as it should be. It's a bittersweet thing, but in some ways, it's the comment on it is we raise them to leave us. And if they don't leave, that's a problem. But I also, it was sort of my kind of comment on how having children in my life, as challenging as it is at times, as difficult as it is at times, has been an explosively wonderful experience for me. Even the dreadful parts mm-hmm. has just changed me and taken me out of myself. And so one of the other explosive experiences I've had in the natural world is seeing synchronized fireflies, where they it's a mating thing, and they mass up in the Smoky Mountains and one other place in the world once a year by the thousands, and they sync up together, and they all light up together, and then they go dark together. And I grew up in East Tennessee. We had a cabin for 65 years in the Smokies, so I know people up there. So people really come to the Smokies while they're doing it for, I think it's the first 3 weeks of June, from all over the world, and it's jam-packed, and it's really crowded and hard to get into the tours to go see them. But when I saw them, I was with one local And there, one time there were two of us, and once there were five of us. And it was like being in a constellation in outer space in a lounge chair. So it was crazy how beautiful it was. And that child, having these children in my life, top to bottom, it's that beautiful to me.
Well, let's hear about Lily's launch.
Yes.
Knows without any practice how to love her own.
So Ashley, one of the things I admire most about you, beyond your remarkable eloquence, you podcast well, by the way.
Thank you.
You're just forthright about everything in your life, and that shows up in your memoir, it shows up in your music, and now I understand it's going to show up in a film. Can you tell me about that?
Yes. When my book came out, my manager gave a copy of the book to a filmmaker named Bart Peters, who has a company called Big Branch Productions, and they got interested in making a doc. They felt like the book would make a great documentary. So they worked on it off and on. They were doing plenty of other things. So it was such a strange experience because, first of all, it was the only creative endeavor that I've been a part of that is absolutely all about me and that I have no, really, I don't have anything to do with the making of it. I was just interviewed along with a bunch of other people. So they would disappear for periods of time, and I'd think, oh, I'm boring, so they're gone. And then they show back up. And so over like a three-year arc, they made this film, and it's called Who's the Girl? And the reason it's called Who's the Girl is that when I got my first record deal with Atlantic Records, it was after I think I had been turned down by every label in the United States, major labels, independent labels. Everybody had passed on me, including Atlantic. And then I had a history of working. I worked with John Hyatt years ago. I sang on a couple of his records and did a tour with him. And we sing very well together. And there was a producer in town named Norbert Putnam who asked John and I to sing a duet on a solo album he was making for the Memphis Horns. And the Memphis Horns were a duo and who played on hundreds and hundreds of records, but Norbert thought, I want to make an instrumental record on the horns, but I also have this one little song that needs vocals. So he put John and I on it, and he did not have a record deal when he made this record, so he sent a package around to various record labels. And he sent one to Ahmet Erdogan, who he had a relationship with at Atlantic. And the message came back, I'm sorry, I can't do anything with this record, but who's the girl?
Wow.
So that's how I got my first record deal.
Ahmet Erdogan, that's incredible.
It was incredible. It was like, what?
Because he's heard a few soulful voices over the years.
Oh my gosh. John Hammond, I mean, there's a handful of industry people who are as iconic as the music that they discovered and talk about launched,
right.
You know, and he's certainly one of them. And so it was a staggering experience.
That's fantastic. So you've seen the movie.
I have seen the movie.
And that's got to be an out-of-body experience.
It's pretty emotional for me. I have no idea. I think it's really good, but how would I know? You know, it's really interesting, and it's to see how other people perceive you and present you, you know, and so it was really wonderful, and it was wonderful to see the people here in the music community that interviewed for it. And, you know, you can't be in the room when they interview, so I had no idea what they said. And I really did encourage people to just be honest or say whatever they felt like saying and not to make anything up. But it was, you know, so much of it was so moving to me and meant something to me. So,
well, you've had a rich career and a rich life, and it's captured in all of your work. I really like the new album and have enjoyed it. I'm struck by the covers. I mean, everything from Jim Lauderdale's Halfway Down, to down by the riverside. Where did the ladder come from?
Well, you know, I mean, I am a long... So when I was a child, my family of origin just completely came off the rails and collapsed. And so when my mother went to work, there was a succession of these African-American ladies that came in and really became like other mothers to my sister and I. And they introduced me to traditional Black gospel, which just, it's largely because of just the power and the beauty of the music to me, but it's partially because of the power and the beauty of who they were too. So it just is a part of me. And so I'm always looking for gospel songs that I can sort of own in some ways. I mean, I can't have essential ownership, but that I can, you know, maybe interpret in a new way, or, you know, and I don't remember where I heard Down by the Riverside again, but I just sometimes I'll hear something and think, oh, I think I'm going to take that home and just fool around with it.
Well, it works. It's so vibrant, and you know, there's some songs you've heard so often that they lose their power, and you've reinvigorated this.
Thank you.
One more song, produced by your husband Kenny Greenberg.
Yes.
And it's available. It's just come out. It's brand new.
Yes.
Watch for the album and this new documentary feature film, Who's the Girl? And the answer is Ashley Cleveland. Thank you, Ashley. Americana Music News is brought to you by Sprinter Media. You can reach us at sprintermedia@comcast.net. Theme music from Norm.